You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Do you know another parent or expecting parent? Are you wondering, what can I give them as a gift? Nancy Grace here. Don't give them another onesie. Don't give them a plastic toy, or, God forbid, a toy gun that's just going to end up in the garage. Give them something that matters. And what matters the most is protecting their child. What do you love most in the world? Your children. What will you do to protect them? Anything. I sat down with the smartest people I know in the world on matters of child safety, finding missing children, fighting back against predators. And what I learned is so important, powerful, and information so critical. I want you to have it. I want them to have it. Go to crimestopshere.com for a 5-part series with action information that you can use to change your life and protect your child. Payment starting $6.99. Give that as a gift, not another onesie. Find out how to protect your child when you're out at the mall or the store or the grocery, in the parking lot, at home. Find out about protection regarding babysitters and daycare, even online. I'd rather have that any day of the week than a plastic toy, or, God forbid, a toy gun. Join Justice Nation. Go to crimestopshere.com. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
I knew something was bad. It was all taped off.
A grisly discovery upending the Inaqua Springs Ranch neighborhood today. After spending the night somewhere else, a man came home this morning to find a woman whom he was dating and two people believed to be her younger relatives dead.
It appears that all three are deceased due to gunshot wounds to the upper parts of their body.
Sheriff Javier Salazar said the younger two, at least, appeared to have been murdered.
It's just too early to tell on the third person if that is a murder or a suicide. We'll let the medical examiner take a look at it.
Media was not allowed past the gates, but we saw several visibly emotional people making their way in on foot.
Please call me, baby.
And from the air, numerous sheriff's office vehicles could be seen parked by the 4.5 thousand square foot home.
Well, naturally, this is not a common area for us to see this sort of activity, but it just goes to show that crime really knows no boundaries.
Though the deaths still took neighbors by surprise.
Just shocking. Shocking.
This is a very peaceful, quiet neighborhood, and nothing like this has ever happened before.
The sheriff's hoping neighbors may have heard or seen something that could be useful, or perhaps picked it up on a surveillance or doorbell camera.
Check that footage and share it with us if it seems like it's something out of the ordinary. We'd like to know about it.
We have not yet received official confirmation on the identities of the three deceased. However, a man identifying himself as an uncle coming into the facility told us that one of the three was named Nicole Olson. That was also a name we found on online records as a resident of that house.
Texas police unconvinced. A 37-year-old mother found dead with her two little girls, killed herself. They state they fear a murderer, quote, on no one's radar, is on the loose. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. I don't understand it either. Nicole Olson and her two little girls found dead in a San Antonio upscale neighborhood. The ME medical examiner has ruled the death initially as a suicide and the girls as murder victims, but I don't believe that. And, you know, guess who agrees with me? Sheriff Jerry Salazar. The sheriff is very unsatisfied with the theory that this young, beautiful mom, just 37 years old, with everything before her, no hint of depression, killed herself and her two little girls in a mansion. Joining me right now, JT Tipton, private investigator and founder of Cinco Peso Security Investigations, right there in the area. Dr. William July, psychologist at drwilliamjuly.com. Veteran felony prosecutor Kenya Johnson. And joining me right now, crimeonline.com investigative reporter, author of A Beautiful Life, the CSI behind the Casey Anthony trial on Amazon, Robin Walensky. Robin, I'm not buying it either. Let's start at the beginning. What happened with Nicole Olson?
Well, she's living in this very beautiful million-dollar home that belongs to her boyfriend. They've been dating for about 18 months. And she lives in this house, gorgeous house. It has a pool, it's brick, it has a cabana, so you could go outside. It's in a beautiful gated community where the homes start at $1 million and go up. And she is there for the spending the night with her two girls, ages 16 and 10. And the boyfriend, he's obviously not there. He's apparently staying at a relative's house for whatever reason. And the timeline is that they go to bed, and the next thing you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, there's a 911 call to the police that these three women have been shot to death and that they're dead. And that is all we know to this point.
A 10-year-old little girl, her big sister, just 16. I'm taking a look right now at Nicole Olson. Police do not believe she killed herself. And that's a big problem. When your medical examiner jumps up with a theory like that, I think there's a problem. And I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is going to be the trajectory paths of those bullets. That is the answer. To JT Tipton, private investigator, founder of Cinco Peso Security and Investigations right there in Texas. You know, I'm not buying it, JT Tipton. Something's not right here. What do you know?
You know, Nancy, I can tell you from when I first found out about the case, the incident, I was actually in North Carolina working with Dr. Laura Petler on another case. I got home and I had several voicemails on my phone. And at that point in time, nobody knew what was going on. I actually was able to listen to Sheriff Salazar several times, given some information out publicly, which, you know, maybe he should have done, maybe he shouldn't have done. I tend to agree that he probably shouldn't have released any of that information because, as you know, the most important time frame in a case like
this. Wait. What specific information is it that you believe JT Tipton should not have been released?
He should not have said anything about, in my opinion, about any of the suspectology, which, as you know, is probably not the correct way to pursue this type of a case. I believe maybe they should have erred on the side of caution and performed some victimology, especially within the first 48 hours.
Yeah, you know what? You're right about the victimology aspect of this. Guys, this is what we know right now. The shocking deaths of a young mom with a beautiful smile and her two little girls, 16 and 10, have been found dead in a Texas mansion. It has shocked the community where they live and apparently stupefied local police, who say they're not satisfied with the theory that these three died by suicide murder. Robin Walensky with me, crimeonline.com investigative reporter. Robin, why do the cops, why are they rejecting the medical examiner's theory, which is very rare for the cops to go up against what the ME says?
It is extremely rare, and here's why. She had her own business. She was a hairdresser. She was working. She was upbeat. She always has a smile on her face. She was engaged in her children's lives. The older girl was in cheerleading. The younger girl was involved in all sorts of activities at her school. There's no suicide note. There's no upsetting, crying phone call. There's no threats of suicide. By all means, she was a happy-go-lucky woman enjoying the lives of her two daughters. And by the way, she also has a son who's in his early 20s. And no one knew she was depressed. So it's very out of step that this woman would commit suicide.
Man, this lady does not look like she has a 20-something-year-old son. She looks like she's 20 herself. You know, something's not right. To Kenya Johnson, felony prosecutor, when I was talking about the trajectory paths of the bullets, I think that's very significant in this case. And I'd like to find out what the ME has to say about that, because I believe someone shot all three of them, that the target was the mother, and then the other two, the 16 and 10-year-old, were killed because they were witnesses. I want to find out where they were lying. Were they all together? You know, sometimes when parents kill their children, they'll then like tuck them into bed or some weird thing like that. I want to find out, were they in the midst of a struggle? But that trajectory path on the mom, because of her wound, is at an angle that shows me she could not have done it herself, then the ME is all wrong, Kenya Johnson. That's why that's so critical.
I agree, Nancy. I commend the authorities for going beyond what the medical examiner says. It's easy to close out a case and just say suicide, but there's so much more information that needs to be gathered. The medical examiner has the limited information in front of him, what's on the autopsy table, whereas the sheriff's, you know, all of the circumstantial evidence around it, or at least they're trying to put that together, they have much more information. So for the medical examiner or for the information about suicide be released so prematurely, it really needs to come with an explanation. How is a medical examiner saying this is suicide? What makes him think that? And that is going to be challenged in this investigation going forward.
Listen.
I want them to cry. I want them to vent. I want them to hug. I want everyone to love each other and just be together in this time.
It makes me happy to know that they were so loved and that they're going to be missed.
She was obsessed with tacos. That girl could put them down. I don't know where they went, but she could put them down.
And she spread so much joy and laughter everywhere she went. And I'm going to miss her.
And everybody wants to support Nicole and step forward to defend her honor.
All firmly believe together as three families that Nicole's a victim in this.
I think the family and her friends are going to do everything we can to make sure that the truth comes to light.
What may sound like an open and shut case is far from over, according to Sheriff Javier Salazar. He says given the public response, especially over social media, he's hoping that people will share information with the sheriff's office that could be helpful.
They may have a screenshot in their possession of some of the social media use by at least one of the decedents in this case. We'd like to see that. Even if you feel like it may or may not be something that we should be interested in, please share that with us.
Now, the sheriff says even though the deaths last Thursday of 16-year-old Alexa Montes and a 10-year-old girl believed to be her sister were ruled homicides, and Montes' mother was ruled as a suicide, the sheriff says that they are still actively investigating various aspects of the case in talking to everyone that who would possibly have any knowledge about what may have led up to this day, tragic day last Thursday at the Inaqua Springs Ranch home where they lived, and also certainly what may have occurred inside that house. And so, again, they're trying to make sure that whatever information they is revealed in their investigation coincides with what the medical examiner has already ruled. They are asking, the sheriff's office is asking anyone with information to call their homicide unit at 210-335-6070 or certainly to email any information to bcsotips@bear.org.
You are hearing our friends at KSAT ABC 13. That was Jesse DeGalotto with an update. I'm not buying it either. And when you have the sheriff going up against the medical examiner, that is very, very unusual. We are also learning that the boyfriend, Wheeler, boyfriend of 1 year, told police he stayed the night at a relative's home out of town the night before the bodies were found, says he came home at 9 a.m. to find the grisly scene. Huh. Why do we know Robin Walensky was he that night of all nights staying with a relative out of town? And what time do they place the murders?
No idea. Call is saying what time they believe that the three died. And also we have no idea why he is suddenly somewhere else. And here's a huge nugget. The sheriff is waiting for the cell phone records. He could say he was in New York City or in Timbuktu or wherever he was, but his phone is being checked. And so they are waiting. It's a very laborious process, but they are waiting to see, was he really, you know, with his Aunt Mary or whatever he claims where he was, Nancy.
Straight out to Dr. William July, psychologist. You can find him at drwilliamjuly.com. If you have information, 210-335-6070. Dr. July, she's right about the cell phone records. The sheriff is waiting right now for that. What do they believe it will reveal, Dr. July?
Well, you know, there's always a trail of behavior to a trail of and I'm not a lawyer, but evidence to human behavior. I'm speaking as a psychologist because I look at evidence as well. Whenever there's behavior, I call it behavior of interest. There's always something that is going to signal and flag you to what a person is doing. And sometimes it's not obvious. And that's where a psychologist comes in. Cell phone records can reveal patterns. They can reveal sometimes one little nugget of information which points into a different direction. So even to me as a psychologist, though I'm not doing a criminal investigation, things like that, I look at all those things and take those into account because I'm looking for what I call a pattern of behavior of interest.
This mom living in her boyfriend's mansion at that Anaqua Springs ranch home, now dead. And this is what Sheriff Salazar says. He has not seen any documents yet stating any more than a cause and manner of death. And he says, quote, the medical examiner says it's a suicide based on what they saw. They have a more limited evidence bank to pick from. I have forensics and the crime scene and witness interviews and phone records and everything. In some cases, when the ME rules suicide, there are corroborating things. I don't have that. I don't have a suicide note, a depressed phone call, a witness. I don't have any of those things. Most cases are so much more clear-cut than this one. He adds that while he has no evidence to refute the suicide finding, the case will not be closed until he's satisfied that this was a suicide. He goes on to say, if I didn't think there was even a slight chance they were murdered, we wouldn't have written this off a long time ago. And I agree with him. Everyone that knows her and her former husband has angrily dismissed the idea she would ever have hurt her own children. Also, the daughter, London, was set to try out for America's Got Talent the day after she died. I mean, to me, out to private investigator and founder Cinco Peso Security and Investigations, right there near this home, JT Tipton is with us. JT, why is the sheriff so concerned this is a homicide, a triple homicide? What about it?
No, Nancy, that's a good question. There are so many factors, so many unknowns. I tend to believe that there's some political pressure. If you look at the demographics of this family and of the victims, they're wealthy, they're very attractive, they're living in a very nice home in one of the most affluent neighborhoods in the Burney area. And I just seem to think that there could be some political pressure to make it look like they're trying to solve this case when in reality, I don't have the resources to do it.
I've got a question. Now, Wheeler, the boyfriend, has not spoken out since Nicole and the little girls were found dead. To Dr. William July, psychologist, that's very odd, or is it?
The natural impulse for someone is to want to speak out and to, you know, again, the lawyers can address the part about whether or not he can or should and what that might mean. But if you haven't done this, the natural thing for a person to want to do is you want to get out. You want to tell everyone, hey, I didn't do this. What happened? Will you help me, please? A person's going to come out almost desperate to find information and help. But of course, you know, he may be restrained by legal counsel in doing that in a situation like this. But certainly your natural impulse is going to be to get out and do anything and everything you can. And that's often what the public, the jury of your peers in the public is often doing, is looking for a person to show that kind of concern.
Well, tell me about the area. What do you think, JT Tipton? You're there on the scene. What do you know?
There's quite a few people that are very close to Mr. Wheeler. And the large majority say that that Nicole never could have done this. We've all heard that before. But we've also heard rumors that this is not the first event for Mr. Wheeler, that he's also had some sort of other physical altercations in the past.
Now, okay, I understand you're talking about the boyfriend. What do you mean physical altercations in the past?
From what I'm being told and from what I understand from several sources that are, again, first-person connections to those victims and to Mr. Wheeler, that Mr. Wheeler has had some physical altercations with previous girlfriends or previous relationships in the past.
Guys, take a listen to this.
37-year-old Nicole Lila Olson was found dead in the home just outside of San Antonio, Texas, along with two teenage girls who were members of the family. Now, we're hearing that Nicole has at least three children. Police said that Olson's boyfriend, who lives at the home with the three ladies, called 911 after he found the bodies. He is the owner of that home, which he purchased last year. Now, the county sheriff said that the two girls look to have been the victims of foul play and that they appear to have been murdered. The sheriff also said of Nicole Olson that it's just too early to tell if it was a murder or a suicide, and that a medical examiner will be taking a look at that.
Hi, Nancy Grace here. Have you ever Googled yourself, your neighbors, somebody at work, a crush? 57% of Americans admit to keeping an eye on their own online reputation. 46 admit to using the internet to look up somebody from their past. But Google and Facebook, the tip of the iceberg when it comes to finding personal information. There's an innovative new website called Truth Finder. It's now revealing the full scoop on millions of Americans. Truth Finder can search through hundreds of millions of public records in a matter of minutes. Truth Finder members can literally begin searching in seconds for sensitive data like criminal, traffic, arrest records. Before you bring someone new into your life and around the people you care for, your children, consider using Truth Finder. What you find may astound you. Go to truthfinder.com/Nancy right away to start searching. truthfinder.com/Nancy. truthfinder.com/Nancy. Find the truth.
We've got several deceased individuals inside of a house. It appears that there's four residents in this house that we know of. This morning, one of the residents, a male that had stayed outside the house last night, is the information we have. He came home this morning to find the other three residents deceased. It appears that all three are deceased due to gunshot wounds to the upper parts of their body. The three decedents are female. Two of them are pretty young, believed to be in their teens, and then the third is a woman believed to be in her 30s. Beyond that, we couldn't speculate as to cause of death at this point. It's just too early to tell.
Is this considered a murder-suicide?
We do believe at this point that at least two of them appear to be murders. Of course, the medical examiner will make that final determination. It's just too early to tell on the third person if that is a murder or a suicide. We'll let the medical examiner take a look at it. What I can tell you is that the BCSO CSI unit is here. We have our mobile crime lab out on scene, and we're being meticulous about how this scene is processed for certain. Certainly homicide is also speaking to the male occupant of the residence, and we're hoping that as this investigation unfolds, it'll be able to shed more light on not only what was going on before last night, but also what may have happened this morning.
You are hearing from the sheriff, Sheriff Javier Salazar, speaking about the discovery of three dead bodies in an Anaqua Springs ranch mansion. At first, it's believed that it was a suicide murder, but would a mother kill her two teen girls one day before the one of them was set to audition for America's Got Talent? It's just not all fitting together to so many people. Joining me right now is JT Tempton, private investigator of Cinco Peso Security there in Texas. What about the cell phone records, JT?
Well, Nancy, I would think, first of all, cell phone records, all three of the major carriers have emergency departments that are specifically set up to receive subpoenas and warrants from law enforcement, and they're responded to generally within 24 hours or sooner, depending on if there's life at danger. So it's hard for me to believe that law enforcement or Bexar County doesn't already have those cell phone records in hand, which will do one of two things.
But hold on just a moment, JT Tipton, private investigator. JT, you can get the cell phone records, like which calls were made, which incoming calls were made. But as far as pings go, for instance, placing the boyfriend, the live-in, the owner of this mansion, placing his whereabouts, that's another can of worms. How quickly can you get ping data?
That data is retained for several years. They can get that instantly as well. I do it in my civil cases when I'm doing stalking and harassment type cases. It takes a little bit longer not being law enforcement, but I do know that law enforcement can have access to that almost instantly if they want it.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that, JT Tipton. So you believe the police have the cell phone data right now. And JT, wouldn't that include texts as well?
Well, they'll have an occurrence that a text transmitted. What they should have done, what I would have done if I were law enforcement looking at this, I would have issued a preservation order on all cell phones that were thought to be in conjunction or associated with this case, to include doing a cell tower dump from the main towers around the Nacogdoches Springs to look for similarities or anomalies.
Now you're talking technical talk. Could you dummy down for me, please, quickly?
Yeah, basically what we want to do is we want to look at who was on the cell phone towers, and it could be thousands. However, if we were to go into, say, Mr. Wheeler's cell phone or into Nicole's cell phone, and we now notice similarities between phone numbers that were called, we could start to make some assumptions and maybe generate a lead from that. So additionally, every cell phone is reaching out to a cell phone tower or vice versa every 3 seconds. So when we look at using technology to try to locate somebody, the first thing we should remember is it's only going to show us where the cell phone is, not necessarily the person who owns the cell phone. So there's a little bit more work involved than just pinging the phone to verify whether or not Mr. Wheeler was at the residence or not.
And to Dr. William July, psychologist, Dr. July, I think the content of those texts would be very, very important. Dr. July, why?
Absolutely. The content of texts, I mean, that's one thing that's amazing about technology now is a text. You can look at a person's text history and essentially read that person and their activities and behaviors like a book. You can even glean little inflections of behavior from text messages. Of course, it won't give you the full 3D perspective, but it can certainly give you enough information for an investigator, I would say, to raise some questions about angles to look at.
You know what, Dr. July, can you please be specific when you say you can glean slivers of something, you said, from text? What do you mean by that? Give me an example of what you're talking about so I can understand.
Well, that's a good point, Nancy. You can look at, for example, the types of emojis a person's using. People often have complete conversations by using emojis. So you look at the types of emojis they're using. You look for words, look for keywords of emotions that the person is, where they are, what they're saying they're doing. I miss you. Or are you back yet? Little things like that. I've seen text messages where people have entire conversations like that. And by looking at those things and connecting it with it's harder for me as a psychologist because I only have one piece. But when you connect that with a bigger picture of what an investigator is looking at, and then they have a psychologist look at this type of information, it can be very interesting.
You know, to Atlanta prosecutor Kenya Johnson, I hear what he's saying, and that's pretty deep, that you're trying to interpret emoji and so forth. I'd be looking for, did they have an argument via text that I could look at right before the triple shooting? That's what I'd be looking at.
This is all a new, interesting body of science in the sense of interpretation of the language of text communications. And so this is something that when the case goes to trial, or if you're looking at evidence at trial, mm-hmm. having these experts to talk about what this means and why a person would use this phrasing and these abbreviations in this way is going to glean a lot into her emotions.
Right.
And so very interesting. And he already admitted the boyfriend said that they had an argument the night before. And so the extent of that argument, what were their arguments like before?
I think that's very significant, Kenya. Kenya Johnson with me, along with Dr. William July, JT Tipton, and Robin Walensky. Guys, I want to thank somebody else for being with us, our sponsor, making our program possible today. It's Blink. Two very different instant replays. Instant replays during the big game this Sunday, and that instant replay you just got on your smartphone of someone around your home. Encroaching, breaking in. Blink cameras are the ultimate goal line defense. They're motion activated. When your Blink camera detects something suspicious, you get an alert on your smartphone with a video replay of what Blink spotted. And now you can save 20% on all camera systems during Blink's big game sale. Blink cameras are easy to set up. They're wire-free. They run on two AA lithium batteries that last up to 2 years. And Blink's live feed option lets you monitor your home from anywhere using the easy Blink smartphone app. No contracts, no subscriptions, and Blink works with Alexa. Let Blink help watch your home while you're watching the big game and save 20% on indoor-outdoor systems. Add cameras now through Monday, February 4th, 9 p.m. Pacific. Visit BlinkProtect.com/defense. BlinkProtect.com/defense. That's BlinkProtect.com/defense. Thank you, Blink, for being our partner.
The fact that Nicole Olson's death for right now has been ruled a suicide, we can't just say, oh, well, then she must have been the one that did this to these two little girls. We still have to go out and find out who it was that killed these two young ladies. The evidence may lead us right back to somebody within the house, but it may not. And it would be irresponsible of us to come to that conclusion at this point when there's so much investigation being left to do. Let me just say, I was briefed by my investigators in this case on Saturday. We've been on the phone quite a bit since then, and then today again they briefed me. I don't know that I've ever been more proud of a group of investigators as I am in this case. They're leaving literally no stone unturned. They're working through their days off. They're basically working around the clock on this case and making sure that they're covering all bases. They took evidence from that residence that, you know, maybe wasn't typical of cases in years past or in times past, but I think it's the way we're doing things moving forward here. I mentioned it at the press conference that day that I gave my sound bites and made mention of the fact that they were wearing biological suits. And again, I'll reiterate the fact that in this case, we knew from the onset that this case was going to rely heavily on trace evidence. And so we have to be, as investigators, we have to be careful not to contaminate a crime scene because, again, you realize that a hair fiber could make the difference in a case. A fingerprint could make the difference in a case. And so we're taking this case completely by the numbers. And again, my investigators are being completely thorough up to and including not ruling out the fact that there may be somebody here that wasn't even on our radar before, but something that we find may lead us to them.
Well, that's not a very comforting thought, that there is a triple killer on the loose. That's the Bexar County Sheriff, Javier Salazar. As we go to air, we are learning the FBI has joined the investigation into the triple homicide, the triple deaths of a mother and her two little girls in a luxury San Antonio ranch house. And that's according to the Bexar County Sheriff's Office with me, Robin Walensky, Kenya Johnson, Dr. William July, and J.T. Tipton, Private Eye, founder of Cinco Peso Security and Investigations, right there in the same neck of woods. J.T. Tipton, what can you tell me about the FBI coming in?
You know, I'm very confused about that. In my experience and based on some conversations that I've had with some colleagues that are retired federal law enforcement and a few that are actually still active, the FBI doesn't really get involved in a case like this unless it's one involving children that have been abducted and taken across state lines, or if there might be a foreign national involved that may be trying to evade apprehension. I don't know the answer to that.
You know, to Robin Walensky, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter, where this and every other breaking crime news story, you can find it right there at Crime Online. Robin Walensky, the FBI has now joined into this investigation. What do you make of it?
I make of it that they're going to go through security cameras. This is a very well-to-do area, and these are people that can afford to have cameras inside and outside their homes. And I think they're going to meticulously go through that neighborhood, Nancy, and get video, whether it's 10, 12 hours, and meticulously go through who went through that gate in that house, who was walking around. The FBI is going to go door to door and ask people, what did you see that night? What did you see that morning? And that's why the FBI is joining this case.
Well, the FBI has access to resources the sheriff's office does not, simply because it's federally funded. For instance, the sheriff said, in the event we need advice of some sort of a profiler, well, we don't have a profiler here. But the FBI does. So it just opens up a lot more possibilities. Now, the spokesperson, Special Agent Michelle Lee, for the FBI San Antonio office confirmed they are assisting, even though there has been a government shutdown. They're assisting no matter what. Whether the government shuts down again, they're still assisting. But what are they doing? A significant number of personnel at the FBI's national headquarters who normally assist with these type of investigations have been furloughed. They're back on the job right now. Let's strike while the iron is hot. Now, the boyfriend, Charlie Wheeler, 31. Tell me, what do we know? J.T. Tipton, what does he do for a living, and how does he happen to own a huge ranch mansion in Anaqua Springs? How's that? What does he do?
No, Charlie comes from a very well-to-do family, very respectable family involved in oil field here in Texas. They also own locally a very large feed store that does quite well. I think Charlie's, you know, kind of been born with a silver spoon in his mouth and has been pretty much handed everything that he has.
Interesting. Does he have a job?
From what I understand, he does own and operate an oil field services company.
Mm-hmm. So he's working. And I'm very curious. They have been dating for about 1 year. Is that right, Robin Walensky?
Yeah, just a little over a year. That is correct.
To J.T. Tipton, private investigator at Cinco Peso Security. J.T., what more can you tell me about the boyfriend, Charlie Wheeler, 31 years old, family?
They're in the community. They're very well respected within the community. They're very well politically connected.
What do you mean by that?
Just with the local community, with the local leadership, ranging from, you know, the local sheriff's office to they're large contributors. I actually think it would be interesting, and I haven't had time to do this. There's been some public comments on some Facebook posts from very well-known individuals locally here in the San Antonio Bexar County area. Some political figures that are piping in, like Carlos Uresti, who some of you may know was, I believe he was just indicted on some criminal charges, and he's commenting on these posts that didn't have nothing to do with it. And I'd like to see what kind of campaign contributions were made to Mr. Uresti's campaign account from the Wheelers.
I know this. I know that Nicole Olson argued with her boyfriend the night before she and her two daughters were found shot dead, and his luxury home in a gated neighborhood. I find it very difficult to believe, Kenya Johnson, you're the felony prosecutor, that nobody in this posh gated community had security cameras.
This is an ongoing investigation. I think as time goes on and people begin to review their footage as they hear about this crime, something is going to come out. This is the type of neighborhood that is well secured, and as time goes on, we'll find more and more information.
Kenya, please. You know, rich people, they have all sorts of alarms. They have cameras, the works. So if there was an intruder, you know he, and you know it's a man, if there was an intruder, statistically, he's got to be caught on camera. What's happening?
Or someone may have been walking their dog or taking out the trash. Someone saw something. And sometimes it takes a couple of days to put your memory together and realize, oh, yeah, it was that night. But things are still going to come out, and we will find someone from this neighborhood that had to have seen something out of the ordinary. And if they don't see something out of the ordinary, then it leads toward it may have been the boyfriend, because nothing was out of the ordinary.
Well, hold on. We know that right now the boyfriend has not been named a suspect. He has been named a person of interest, to my understanding. And the lawyers, he already has lawyers. One of his lawyers has expressed frustration with comments made by the sheriff and has reiterated there's no probable cause to indicate Wheeler committed any crime at all. So what happens next? Take a listen to the sheriff, Sheriff Salazar, speaking.
I said it out there at the crime scene, that crime knows no boundaries, geographic or socioeconomic otherwise, and neither does our manner investigating a case. The only difference between this case and others is many times other cases are a lot more clear cut from the onset. This one, there's just way too many unanswered questions, but I can tell you that what I've seen of my investigative staff and the efforts that they're putting forward and how painstaking they're being, at some point we're going to have a clearer picture. We're just not there yet.
We wait as justice unfolds. Tip line 210-335-6070. Nancy Grace, Crime Stories, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.